Gautam.
And we'll begin by hearing if any of the devotees answered questions. There's two questions. I'll read them both. Why does Vidura call Duryodhana a fence personified? How does this characteristic of Duryodhana apply to all conditioned souls? Anyone answer that one? Yeah. Canto of the Bhagavatam in chapter 13, which many, many months ago we read, we find a great sage returning to his home after many, many years of pilgrimage. And that great sage was Vidura. And Vidura, we see him at that time just returning home, and he came into the palace. And everyone was thrilled to see him again because he was so respected and so loved by all the palace residents. But Vidura did not return just to receive the love of the Pandavas. This was way, way after the Battle of Kurukshetra and Yudhisthira was the king. And Duryodhana had long been vanquished. But he had a specific purpose for coming, and that purpose was to preach very strongly to Dhritarashtra and tell him to get out of the palace, because Dhritarashtra was old. Dhritarashtra was so old, and yet he was living in luxury, in comfort, not understanding that he was soon to die. Every old person wants to forget this fact. Every elderly person. So, Dhritarashtra, it was heavily influenced by the preaching of Vidura. And in the middle of the night, he and his wife Gandhari, they left. And they performed meditation and they left this world in a very noble way, through the practice of yoga. So Vidura had performed his task very wonderfully. But at that time in the first canto, there was no explanation by either Sukadeva Goswami or by Suta Goswami why Vidura had left the palace. And there was no explanation what he had done. There was a short explanation that he had heard from Maitreya Muni. And this hearing from Maitreya Muni, what Vidura heard from Maitreya Muni, is actually the subject of the third and the fourth canto. And at the end of the fourth canto, we'll hear how Vidura, after hearing from Maitreya Muni sufficiently and having all his questions answered, then he decides to go back to Hastinapur and to preach to Dhritarashtra and rescue him from palace life and living a life of comfort right to the very end with not a trace of God realization. But we didn't hear that in the first canto, exactly how Vidura got in that position. But yet, that part of the story was told. We just see, as we said, Vidura returning and rescuing Dhritarashtra, the old and blind king. So, after that occurred, after that was described in the 13th chapter of the first canto, many other things were described in the first canto, and basically that was told in the frame of reference of explaining how Krishna had left the planet, which allowed Kali to come, which, and then Maharaj Prickett was born, and Yudhisthira and the other Pandavas retired, and then Maharaj Prickett was cursed, and then Maharaj Prickett went to the bank of the Ganga, and Sukadev Goswami came and began speaking to him the Bhagavatam. And then in that speaking, Prickett Maharaj asked Sukadev many questions, and some of those questions were about the creation. So most of the second canto was about the creation of the universe, and it was an answer to Maharaj Prickett's question to Sukadev Goswami to describe Krishna's interaction and interplay with the different, with his energies, like that, and how the material world is created. At the very end of the second canto, the sages of Namasharanya, after hearing so much about the creation and the Lord's material energy, they bring the topic back to that, to what happened in the first canto, in the 13th chapter, and they ask about Vidura. So the last three verses of the second canto describe this. Text 48, 49, and 50. We'll just read these. Shonaka Rishi. Who is Shonaka Rishi? He's the chief sage. There are thousands and thousands of sages. And he was the chief sage there, and he was putting the questions. He was the primary hearer. So he was putting the questions to Suta Goswami, and he said, Sonaka Rishi, after hearing all about the creation, inquired from Suta Goswami about Vidur. For Suta Goswami had previously informed him how Vidura had left home, leaving aside all his relatives who were very difficult to leave. Shonaka Rishi said, "Let us know, please, what topics were discussed between Vidura and Maitreya, who talked on transcendental subjects, and what was inquired by Vidura and replied by Maitreya. Also, please let us know the reason for Vidura's giving up the connection of his family members. And then, after giving up the connection of his family members, why did he again return home? Please also let us know the activities of Vidura while he was in the places of pilgrimage." So they were very curious to hear about this great sage Vidura. And Suta Goswami, in the final verse of the second canto, replies, "I shall now explain to you the very subject explained by the great sage in answer to King Prickett's inquiries. Please hear them attentively. Then the third canto begins. Now, Sukadev Goswami said, so the Shonaka Rishi is asking Sutta questions, and Sutta begins his reply by explaining what Sukadev had explained to Maharaj Prickett. "After renouncing his prosperous home," which was the palace of Hastinapur, "and entering the forest," and they asked basically three questions. What did he discuss with the great sage Maitreya? What did Vidura discuss? They asked him, what were the events that caused him to leave home? Because who would leave the king's palace? And living in a king's palace means that you have facilities to do anything you want. Everything is at your disposal with a snap of the fingers. Why would one leave? And then, after leaving, after so many years leaving, why would one return? So three questions. What caused him to leave? What caused him to return? And what did he discuss? What did he do on pilgrimage? And what did he discuss with Maitreya when he finally met that great sage? So, after renouncing his prosperous home, which was the king's palace, and entering the forest, King Vidura, the great devotee, asked his questions of His grace, Maitreya Rishi. Now, after explaining this point, he's about to explain what the questions were and about that topic, but we won't actually get to that until possibly the fourth chapter. I can't remember which one it is. Yeah, the fourth chapter or the fifth chapter over here. But we're going to hear now a little bit of history. First, he says, what else is there to say about the residential house of the Pandavas? Because he left. Vidura left. Now, what would impel someone to leave the king's palace? So, to describe the incredible thing that he left, Sukadev says, if I explain this one thing, you'll understand that it is an amazing thing that he left. It's a king's palace, but that's not all of it. This king's palace, Sri Krishna, the Lord of everything, acted as your minister, because this palace was the palace of the Pandavas. And Maharaj Prickett was a descendant of the Pandavas. So Krishna acted as your minister. He used to enter that house that Vidura left as if it was his own, and he did not take any care of Dujadon's house. So Prabhupada brings up three points in the purport. One point was that why in the world did Vidura leave when Krishna himself used to go to that place? Because wherever Krishna goes is the most wonderful place. Wherever Krishna is virtually Vrindavan. So when Krishna is there, what is the need to leave? And secondly, there was a family quarrel, and we're going to hear the nature of that quarrel between Vidura and the Kauravas at that time, especially Duryodhana. But yet, why would a saintly person who was so tolerant like Vidura, after getting in a quarrel, just become angry and leave? Because it's the very nature of a saintly person is to tikshava karunaka. What does to tikshava mean? Tolerant. They're so tolerant. He was a sadhu. He was a great devotee. Great devotees are by definition tolerant. To tikshava karunaka. This is the definition that we'll hear later in the third canto of Asada, Titikshava Krunaka, Surida Sarvadehinam. Titikshava, so tolerant. What is it that makes a person in knowledge, a saintly person, tolerant? Let's hear what Prabhupada says about that. And then we'll hear why actually he did leave. What is it that makes a devotee tolerant?
For the family life he left us. We have Kshetra, then Shinto, children, then Akko, relatives. In this way, Jaraso Mohoyam Ahamaneti, he becomes entangled in this material life. But that is more. That is not bad. It is more in this sense, because we have to change this body. In this body, I have created something. We have Kshetra, Sutra, Akko, Vitta. And at the time of death, as Krishna said, Mitru Sarva Harasta Aham. Krishna takes our everything as death. Your griha, your house, your land, your wife, your children, your friend, your reputation, everything is taken. And then you have to begin another life. feeling. You are not dead. You are living eternally. Na hanate hanumane sarire. This body is finished. You have to accept another body. And that you do not know what kind of body you get. There are so many bodies. Jalyamala Khani Savarala Kamusati. 8,400,000 forms of bodies. So you have to enter some of them, one of them. So in this way our life is going on. But temporarily, if we are situated in a position, this is my wife, this is my children, this is my house, this is my country, this is my nation, this is my home. This is. You will not be allowed to stay in the circumstances of home. That's a fact. Everything will be taken away, but we are attached. This is material life. Therefore, devotee holds that do abhorrah this false conception of blood. Ahamamethi, I am American, I am India, I am Hindu, I am Muslim, I am Christian, or I am Brahmin, I am Kshatri. This abhorrah, it is called world. There is English. For the time, just like you become minister for 5 years or 3 years or president. Just like Nixon was president. Now he is not president. So this is an upadhi. You are Indian, American, this, that, they are all upadhi. Therefore, if we attach, if we are attached to the upadhi, that is called avabhava. And according to the upadhi, I become attached to me and mine. I am this, I am that, and it is my illusion. But actually, they are all illusion. What it is? If you suppose that the president was 5 years, very powerful, now he is dragged down, then what is value? What is value? So it may be for 5 years or 50 years or at most 100 years. All million years, just like Brahma. But they are all temporary. In eternal time, 5 years or 10 years or 100 years or 5 million years, they are all limited. They are not eternal. But we are eternal. We living entities, we are eternal. So why we should be illusioned by the non-eternal? That is called illusion. So, why we should be illusioned by the non-eternal? That is called illusion. That is called gyan. I learned from Bhagavad Gita that I am eternal. There is no birth, there is no death. Na jayate naam diyateva kadachi. Kadachi. At any time. Not that it has begun now. No. Never be at war. Na hanate hanumane, so this is the path. So why I shall be interested in something non-eternal? This is not knowledge. If I am eternal and my position is to enjoy life, anandamaya vyasa, by nature, I am part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is Sachidananda Vigraha. And Krishna says, So, qualitatively, I am also Chachidananda. So, why I am enjoying this temporary life for 10 years or 20 years or 200 years? This is the knowledge. Etat jnanam. Other jnanam, they are not jnanam. I have said many times, they are art, silpa. So, do it for some time and make some artistic way of living condition and forget my real problem. Janma mitya jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. So, for this purpose one should approach gurus. Samma rupe namo, sammo. The material life, aham mamete, we have created some situation, mind and mind. All this is false, you should know it is false, you are so much attached to it. So, you require to dissipate the apathostums, this misconception. That is the business of Guru. Ajnanas mirandhas, jnananjana salata, chakshu militam jena, tasmai sri guru. This is Guru. Guru's business is that we are in the darkness of this illusion, money and mind. And the whole world is going on, the fight between nation and nation, between society and society, community and community, brother and brother, father and mother, or so many. Simply the song of it. This much mind, why you are interfering in my business? There must be fight. This illusion is going on. But we do not belong to any one of them. It is temporary. Just like in railway compartment, if there is some crowd, somebody fights. Why you push me? Why you take my seat? And there is a very big fight. And somebody toils. I shall sit here for 2 hours or for 3 hours, why shall I fight? This is one mentality. And another mentality is that you know that for the 2 hours or 3 hours or some other hours we remain in the compartment, that is fine. Because aham mamete, that 2 hours seat is thinking, my permanent seat, why you should intrude upon my seat? This is going on. Nobody will be allowed to stay here in this material world. He will have to change the body, his position. Dukkhalam asasat. And so long he will remain here, he will have to fight, struggle for existence. This is material life. And at the same time, if you make compromise, then never mind, it is full of misery, I shall stay here. No, we cannot be allowed. It will be kicked out. Dukkhanam asasatam. This is the material. So, and we have got very much attachment for this material world. We cannot. Therefore, according to Vedic system, there is compulsory renunciation. Get out, please, immediately. Panchasat dhambadambhaji. You are now past 15 years. That's your life. You are falsely bought in this material world. Aham mamete. Now stop this business. Come out. This is Vedic situation. As soon as you are 50 years, you may, just like children, they play in the ditch, making sand house and stuff. Now the father of the time is up. Now my dear children, stop this business. Come on. Come here. Home. So we have to do that. This is the business of Guru, to teach the student, detach that this world is not your place. Your place is Vaikuntha Loka.
So, Madhura, on one hand, did not actually become disturbed by the insults that were hurled at him by Duryodhana that we'll hear about in a moment. And on the other side, he had Krishna there in that palace, but yet he left nevertheless. So this is a wondrous thing. And the answer, and the reason why he did leave was because it was Krishna's plan that Vidura hear from Maitreya Muni, and therefore he was impelled, Vidura was impelled to hear from Maitreya Muni. So the questions go on. Where and when did the meeting and discussion take place between Saint Vidura and His Grace Maitreya Muni? Kindly oblige, my Lord, and describe this to us. Saint Vidura was a great and pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his questions to His Grace Rishi Maitreya must have been very purposeful on the highest level and approved by learned circles. So he was very eager to hear about the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya, because he knew that Vidura was an exalted personality, a great devotee. And naturally, being a great devotee, what would he have wanted to speak about? Only one thing. Because a great devotee only has one thing on his mind and one thing on his heart, and that is Krishna. And Maitreya Muni was an exalted saintly personality. He was actually a convert, as we'll hear later, to Krishna consciousness. He was an exalted personality. So when two exalted people get together, they will only speak about the most exalted subject matter. So the sages, they were very interested to hear about this conversation. So Sutta Goswami began to reply. This was those questions, those were the words of Bricket Maharaj. So Sutta Goswami then said, he continued describing Sukadev's reply, and Sukadev was very happy to get these questions about what was the nature of their conversations. And he said, his reply was basically, just please listen to this. You hear this. Because if one hears the conversation between great personalities, this Krishna Katha, then one's heart is completely purified, one's heart is completely satisfied. So Sukadeva Goswami began describing to Maharaj Prakrit, first of all, the cause of Vidura's leaving home, and then he's going to continue this story, which is very wonderful, up to the point of the conversation when Vidura meets Maitreya Muni, and then he'll describe in great detail for more or less two cantos and many, many, many chapters, almost 60 chapters. He's going to describe this wonderful conversation and the things that they discussed. And it is many various different topics are discussed, and they're all very, very exciting. And as one would imagine, they are all about Krishna. But here, before that, before what the discussion between Vidura and Maitreya Muni was, what were the occurrences in the palace where Vidura was living that caused him to leave and go on pilgrimage, which was the cause of him meeting Maitreya Muni. So Sukadev Goswami begins to describe that Dhritarashtra, and these verses are very briefly describe occurrences from the Mahabharata, the story that are the prelude to the Bhagavad Gita being spoken, and how Dhritarashtra had usurped the kingdom. We all know how Dhritarashtra was blind from his birth, and because he was blind, he was not allowed to become the king himself. And rather, Pandu, his brother, would become the king. But Dhritarashtra wanted his own sons, headed by Duryodhana, to become the king. And therefore, the sons of Pandu, known as the Pandavas, were always given so much trouble because they were under the care of Dhritarashtra. When Pandu died, they were placed, all the five Pandava brothers were placed under the care of Dhritarashtra, but Dhritarashtra was always trying so many ways to stop Yudhisthira, the head of the Pandavas, from becoming king. And rather, between Dhritarashtra's plans and Duryodhana, his number one son's plans, they tried everything. And as text 6 explains, that even Duryodhana set a trap They invited the Pandavas to live in a wonderfully built house, newly constructed house, that smelled somehow or another of lack, of lacquer. And they were going to ignite it one day and burn them to ashes. So there were so many plots. They tried to poison the Pandavas. There were so many plots to kill the Pandavas just to make Duryodhan the king. And then in text 7, describing Dhritarashtra's blindness, how he did not stop the chaste wife of the Pandavas, Draupadi, from being insulted during the gambling match. So these stories are all told in the Mahabharata, and they are told in great detail, and they are just briefly told over here. And then it describes how Yudhisthira was exiled to the forest. He was cheated in gambling, and he lost everything. He lost the entirety of his kingdom. And not only that, he was sent to the forest for so many years, and then he had to live incognito, and he did it all. Even though it was cheating, he did it all because he always kept his word. So he promised that he would go to give everything to Duryodhana, so he gave the whole kingdom to Duryodhana. Then he promised that he would go to the forest for so many years in exile and then live incognito, and he did that. And then finally, when he returned, he asked for the kingdom back, and Duryodhana said no. Yudhisthira was a ruler, and each of his Pandava brothers were Kshatriya rulers. They could not get a job. There was no question of them accepting any other profession. They had to rule. They were Kshatriyas. They were warriors. So Yudhisthira asked, please then, if you will not give us the kingdom, we don't wish to fight, just at least give us 5 villages. So we can each rule a village. We have to rule. And Duryodhana was so mean-hearted, his reply was, no, I cannot even spare you enough land to drive a needle through. Get out. So Yudhisthira, so powerful, with his incredibly powerful brothers, still did not immediately attack and make war, as explained in text 9, deputed by the Pandavas. Krishna himself, which is truly amazing, Krishna himself acted as the messenger, the peace messenger of the Pandavas. Why is this amazing that Krishna acted as the peace messenger of the Pandavas? Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is nobody's messenger. He is no one's chariot driver. He is the Lord. The Lord commands. By definition, Lord means the one who commands all others. So how is he driving the chariot? How is he the peace messenger? Because of his great love for his devotees, he takes all these positions just to exchange loving relationship with his devotees. So the Supreme Lord Krishna, even the Lord acting as the peace messenger of the Pandavas, approached Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, said, please, let us work something else. Let us not fight. Your cousins, do not fight. Work out something. Compromise. I'm coming on behalf of the Pandavas saying we should please compromise. We don't want to fight. But Duryodhana did not take these words seriously. Rather, he tried to capture Krishna and tie him up. And Krishna then displayed a spark of his power. Still, they couldn't understand. They were so much in the illusory energy. But yet, after all this, Dhritarashtra Because Yudhisthira was still saying, give us the kingdom, give us some kingdom back. We want to, we have to rule. Give us something. So Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana's father, called Vidur, who was his, like his brother, and said, what should we do? He asked Vidura what to do. And in the next three verses, 11, 12, and 13, Vidura very clearly says what to do. This is when Vidura was living. This was again leading up to the time when Vidura goes on pilgrimage. And this is leading up to the cause of his going on pilgrimage. When asked, not just speaking, but Dhritarashtra asked him, what is your opinion? What should I do? Should we give the Pandavas the kingdom? Should we avoid the battle? Vidura answered very clearly, you must now return the legitimate share to Yudhisthira. You must give him his rightful kingdom. Yudhisthira has no enemies, and he has been forbearing. He's tolerated all that you have done to him, all the sufferings that you have perpetrated upon him offensively. He has simply tolerated, and now he's just asking for the kingdom back. You give it to him back. He and the Pandavas, he is waiting with his younger brothers, amongst whom is the revengeful Bhim, who had vowed, by the way, to kill each and every one of Dhritarashtra's sons, and he later did it. And he ripped open their chests and drank their blood to fulfill his vow. So Vidura warned Dhritarashtra, do not make enemies with the Pandavas. Yudhisthira has no enemy. Do not become the enemy of someone who has no enemy. And remember, Bhim is waiting there if you want to fight, to kill each and every one of the sons, your sons. He is breathing heavily like a snake. Surely you're afraid of him. And not only that, Vidura said, he said, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has accepted the sons of Prita as his kinsmen, of Kunti Devi. Krishna, the Lord, has befriended them and he thinks of them as his relatives. And all the kings of the world are with Lord Sri Krishna and he is the Supreme Lord. He is present in his home with all his family members, the kings and the princes of the Yadu dynasty. So Krishna is there, all the kings of the world will be opposing you. All the Yadavas who have conquered unlimited number of other rulers. And Krishna is their Lord, and he will be against you. You must give him back the kingdom. And then finally, he said, so the first reason, the Pandavas. Second reason, you must give back the kingdom. Krishna and the Yadavas are opposing you. You cannot win. And the third reason, and the third thing he said, you are maintaining offense personified, Duryodhana, as your infallible son. You are treating him as if he was perfect. You are listening to everything he says, accepting it as if it is good for you. But actually, he is offense personified, and listening to him will cause your ruination. He is not infallible. He is only faulty. Why? Because he is envious of Lord Krishna. He is offense personified. He's going against Krishna's will with such strength, opposing Krishna. He's a demon. And you're treating him as your dearmost son and listening to every word he says. And because you are thus maintaining a non-devotee of Krishna, you are devoid of all auspicious qualities. Relieve yourself of this ill fortune as soon as possible and do good to the whole family. What misfortune? What ill fortune? Relieve yourself of. Get rid of Duryodhana. You're listening to him, and he's causing you, he will cause the destruction of himself and your entire family. Get rid of him. He is envious of Krishna. How can good come from listening, taking counsel of a person who is envious of Krishna? He says, offense, but get rid of him. So he spoke so boldly to King Dhritarashtra. The truth in each and every word, because he was a well-wisher of Dhritarashtra. He always was a well-wisher of Dhritarashtra. Right to the very end, he was a well-wisher of Dhritarashtra. So much so that he pulled him out after each and every word that he had spoken came true. Later, so many years later, he pulled him out and saved his life, actually, that we heard about in the first canto. So when Duryodhana heard these words, and when he heard it, his lips began to tremble with anger. And he was with his younger brothers who always supported him. He was with Karna and Sukuni who always supported him. And therefore he spoke to Vidura very, very hard and cruel words. Because Vidura was actually the son, he wasn't exactly royalty, but he was half royalty. He was the son of, what was his father's name? It starts with a Z. Who is he? Vichitravirya. Who is Vichitravirya? Oh, so he was the actual, like, legal father of all three, right? Okay. Yeah. So he was the father, he was considered the father, because the Pandavas are also called Pandavas. Okay. So he was the son of Vichitravirya of Vyasadeva within the womb of a maidservant, not actually a royal queen. So he was considered one of the royalty, but not actually, he was like considered like a prince, but he wasn't actually a prince. And Duryodhana immediately brought this sensitive point up. He said, who asked him to come here, this Vidura, the son of a kept mistress? He is so crooked that he spies, he is a spy in the interests of the enemy against those on whose support he has grown up. We have fed him, we have clothed him, we have considered him our brother, our uncle. We allow him to stay in the palace with us, even though he is not royalty actually, he is just the son of the mistress. And we have fed him and clothed him, and he speaks against us. Throw him out. Toss him out of the palace immediately. What should he take with him? Leave him only with his breath. In other words, everything, take everything from him but his life. Get him out. Because the nerve, we fed him and everything. His existence is based on our mercy, and now he's criticizing us? Kick him out! Now we'll read a little of Prabhupada's purport. Duryodhana knew very well that Vidura was a great soul and a well-wisher. But unfortunately, he used strong words to hurt his innocent uncle. Because even though Vidura spoke strongly, there was no envy in his heart. There was only affection in his heart. But Duryodhana spoke wickedly with malice, envy, jealousy, anger in his heart. Not thinking of anyone's welfare, just trying to hurt Vidura. Duryodhana not only attacked Vidura's birth, but also called him an infidel. An infidel means an irreligious, against religious person. Because he seemed to support the cause of Yudhisthira, who Duryodhana considered his enemy. He desired that Vidura be immediately put out of the palace, deprived of all his possessions. If possible, he would have liked him caned until he was left with nothing but his breath. He charged that Vidura was a spy of the Pandavas because he advised King Dhritarashtra in their favor. Such is the situation of palace life and in the intricacies of diplomacy that even a faultless person like Vidura could be charged with something abominable and punished. Vidura was struck with wonder at such unexpected behavior from his nephew, Duryodhana, and before anything actually happened, he decided to leave the palace for good. Text 16. Thus being pierced by the arrow, by arrows through his ears. What arrows through the ears? Actually, there's nothing that can pain the heart like sharp words, it is said. Because your bodily, if someone shoots an arrow in you, maybe you'll die. But if not, the wound will heal in a few weeks or a month or a year. But if someone... So being pierced by arrows through his ears and afflicted to the core of his heart, Vidura placed his bow on the door and quit his brother's palace. He was not sorry, for he considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme. Now, Prabhupada explains in the beginning of the purport that Vidura understand, Prabhupada quotes the verse, Prakriti kriyamanani gunan kamani savishahankara mudama kattaham iti manyate. That actually, Krishna is the one who is doing everything because he is the supreme controller. So Vidura understood that this act of Vidura, of Duryodhana's, those harsh, harsh words, was actually the mercy of Krishna under the influence of Maya, the illusory energy of Krishna. Now this is a very interesting purport. We'll start reading in the first third on page 17 of the purport, about a third of the way. Duryodhana was acting under the influence of the external nature, that's Maya, by which he could be vanquished at the, he would be vanquished at the ultimate end. In other words, he wasn't acting in the service of Krishna, he was acting thinking of himself as the enjoyer under the influence of illusion, of the illusory energy. Duryodhana could not accept the sound advice of Vidura, but on the contrary, he insulted that great soul who was the well-wisher of his whole family. Not only couldn't he accept his advice, he retaliated when he heard it and insulted him. And Vidura was just trying to actually, he was saying the right thing. Vidura could understand this because he could understand that Krishna is the ultimate controller because he was a pure devotee of the Lord. In spite of being very strongly insulted by Duryodhana's words, Vidura could see that Duryodhana, under the influence of Maya, the external energy, was making progress on the path towards his own ruination. He therefore considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme. He understood that his words, his own words, true as they were, to give Yudhisthira back the kingdom, to avoid the battle by acting justly, even though they were true words, they could not stop the ruination of Duryodhana, because Duryodhana had taken shelter of Maya, the external energy, and that would bring him his ruin. But at the same time, although he saw that this was all going on under the influence of Krishna's Maya Shakti, of the external energy of the Lord, at the same time he understood that Maya was going to rule this situation. Yet, he also saw how the internal energy of the Lord helped him in that particular situation. So this is actually amazing. On one hand, one act, he's understanding that Krishna's will is working in two ways, and the ways are opposite. In one way, it is Krishna's Maya, his external energy working, Mahamaya working, and bringing Duryodhana to his ruin quickly. And on the other hand, he's seeing that Krishna's mercy, his internal energy, is working, and it is helping him personally. This is actually very amazing, and it is more or less inconceivable for a non-devotee how two opposite things could be going on exactly at the same time through the same act. Krishna's Mahamaya is working and Krishna's Yogamaya is working. Now here is one of the qualifications for seeing Krishna's mercy in everything. A devotee is always in a renounced temperament, because the worldly attractions can never satisfy him. That's what we heard Prabhupada explaining on the tape. Why Vidura actually didn't leave, because he was insulted. He was completely detached. What is the use of being a king or living in a palace for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, or even being Brahma for thousands of millions of years when we are eternal? It makes no sense, Prabhupada was explaining, to be attached to anything but eternal life. So Vidura was detached. And because he was detached, and because he was a devotee, he could see Krishna's mercy working for him. Vidura was never attracted by the royal palace of his brother. He was always ready to leave the place and devote himself completely to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Now he got the opportunity by the grace of Duryodhana, really by the grace of Krishna. And instead of being sorry at the strong words of insult, he thanked him from within, because it gave him the chance to live alone in a holy place and fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord. The word gatavyata, without being sorry. When he left the palace, he didn't do it out of anger. You can't talk to me like this. I'm leaving. He wasn't actually insulted. He wasn't actually sorry. Because how could one be sorry if one sees Krishna's mercy working upon him? So he is actually thrilled to be in the hand of Krishna, even though it came in a difficult, superficially a difficult way. Like Maharaj, just imagine how Maharaj Prickett must have felt when he heard this. Because Maharaj Prickett was cursed to die, the most difficult thing. But he this must have encouraged him so much to see Krishna's mercy in that. As Vidura, being kicked out of the palace, saw Krishna's mercy because it gave him the opportunity to concentrate fully on Krishna consciousness. So, gatavyata, Vidura was not sorry. It is significant here because he was relieved from the tribulations which trouble every man engaged in material activities. He therefore thought that there was no need to defend his brother with his bow, because his brother was meant for ruination. He saw what was going to happen, and he understood that this was not his responsibility anymore. Krishna, he recognized that Krishna was telling him, this is not your responsibility to save the situation. It is going a particular way, and you have a different duty right now. You go on pilgrimage, you can leave your bow. And that's what he did. Thus he left the palace before Duryodhana could act. Maya, the supreme energy of the Lord, acted both here, both internally and externally at the same time. Yogamaya and Mahamaya, Krishna's will and the exact opposite going on in one act, but different people, different personalities perceived it in different ways due to their inclination to be opposed to Krishna's will or to be detached from the world, external world of Maya, and favorable to Krishna's will and service. Okay, thank you very much. So we'll continue tomorrow, and tomorrow we'll hear more about what Vidura did and how he met Uddhav. He went on pilgrimage very, very peaceful and happy, depending on Krishna, recognizing Krishna wanted him to do it, putting himself in the hands of Krishna. So sometimes very heavy things, very, very heavy things, Prickit Maharaj being cursed, Dhruva being insulted by his stepmother, Narada Muni losing his mother at an early age, sometimes the most heavy disasters, in one sense, can give birth to the greatest fortune for the soul. But we can't be attached to external material situation. We have to be attached only to Krishna and put hands in the air and depend upon him. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Vidura Maharaj ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.